Let me pray. We pray, Father, that you may speak to us this morning by your Holy Spirit, your word of grace that our hearts so desperately long to hear, that we may have life in Jesus' name. Amen. When I started university, I really clearly remember as I walked from the train at Redfern Station to Sydney Uni on orientation day, I was so conscious that this was a new beginning. I was going to a totally new environment. I was about to meet a whole bunch of people who didn't know me. To them, I was a blank canvas. I could be anyone. I could be a different person from who I had been at high school, even who I'd been at church. It was a new start, and I had something of a choice to make. Who was I going to be? It's a choice we all go through as we grow up and kind of move out from under the wings of our parents to become our own person, whatever that means. Today, Daisy, Amy, going to get baptized, Francesca and William going to confirm for themselves the promises made at their baptisms. And I want to take just a few moments to explore what baptism is, and I want to look at baptism through the lens of two of the deepest questions that we all face. Who am I and where do I belong? The message we're constantly told by our culture through movies and TV is that you can be whoever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. Be whoever you want to be. Just believe in yourself. Be true to yourself. It's a message that springs from our commitments to the ideas of freedom and authenticity. On the one hand, this is how we define freedom. Namely, as the right to determine for yourself who you are and how you will live without interference from others. And then on the other hand, this is what we mean by authenticity, that who I am cannot be determined by something or someone else outside myself, but comes from within. Authenticity means I have, in fact, a moral obligation to discover who I am and then live it out. But this answer to the question of who am I falls short on several grounds. First, it places a great burden upon each one of us. You might spend a whole lifetime peering within yourself and never find out who you truly are. And even if you did, how could you be sure that what you discovered was really you? Or worse still, what if you don't like what you discover and you're stuck with yourself? But perhaps more importantly, the idea that you can be whoever you want to be ignores the social reality of who we are. Before we have any idea of ourselves as I, we are already known and loved by our parents, by our family, those around us, and indeed we are given names. Daisy, Amy, Francesca, William. Now we know the incredible power words spoken to us and about us can have in shaping our lives. The word of a parent or a favorite teacher can set the course of our lives for years to come, for good or for bad. You are a good girl. You'll never amount to anything. There's an interplay between who we are, what others say about us, and we all long to hear those words of love and approval from those who matter most to us. All of which is to say that who we are is not first and foremost something that we determine for ourselves, peering into ourselves. Rather, it is a gift. It's something spoken to us by others. And in their words, we recognize ourselves and so receive the truth of who we are. Well, what does all this talk of who am I have to do with baptism? Our lives are filled with a mass of competing voices that lay claim to who we are. Both the voices of those around us and the voices of our own self-doubt and uncertainty. We long to hear a definitive word in which we can recognize the truth about ourselves. Only in this word will we find peace and for our restless souls. Baptism is a sign that points to this word. In fact, it is a visible word of God's grace to us. See, the church is the family of God the Father. And just like you are born into a biological family, so you become a member of God's family through spiritual rebirth. Jesus says, and we heard in our gospel reading, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Baptism with water is the external and visible sign given by Jesus himself, through which the church points to the internal and unseen work of the Holy Spirit, giving spiritual rebirth. That external sign, the internal work of the Spirit. In the Apostle Paul's letter to Titus, we saw our natural state this side of the fall. I don't know whether you heard as we were reading. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. See, we're all children of Adam. We too listen to the uncanny lies that whisper in our ears, and so we're deceived. We foolishly participate in and perpetuate Adam's disobedience in our own lives. We're enslaved by our own selfish desires, malice, envy, being hated, hating one another. If that doesn't describe our polarized world of social media and conflict, I don't know what does. We're in the kingdom of darkness, cut off from the source of life, spinning out towards death. And into this situation, what does Paul say? But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we'd done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? The external sign, the internal work of the Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. You see, Jesus has defeated sin and death on the cross, and through Jesus, through his death for us, God offers each one of us forgiveness, reconciliation, a new life. But for us to participate in this life, in the life of the new Adam Jesus, our old way of life has to die. And so as we go down into the waters of baptism, we plunge into Jesus' death. And as we come out of the water, we leave the old life in the watery tomb. And we rise to new life, reborn, cleansed, renewed by the Holy Spirit. St. Paul writes, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And did you see also that this is a gift? Christ saves us, not because we've earned it, not because we've done enough, not because we've got enough likes on Instagram or whatever else, not because of the good things that we've done, but because of His infinite mercy, because He loves us. Baptism is that visible word of God's grace, His undeserved gift to you and to me. See, we do not baptize ourselves. It's not something we can do. It has to be done to us. And that's because it's God's gift given through the body of Christ, the church, to us unworthy sinners. Because baptism means new birth into the family of God, traditionally, when people were baptized, whether they were infants or adults, they were given a new name. Their Christian name, the name by which they would be known from that point forward. That's why baptism is sometimes called a christening. And it's also why we often call, in our culture, your first name your Christian name, even if most people are no longer Christians. I share this point because it points to the fact that your baptism now defines who you are. A loved child of God, a new creation, a member of the body of Christ. In Galatians, St. Paul writes that we are baptized into Christ. In baptism, the Spirit unites us to Christ such that His death becomes our death, His life our life. We're made members of His body, the church. Here's how he puts it in Galatians 3, verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, there it is, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This new identity relativizes other identities we might have, whether that's ethnic or wealth or class or gender or status, whatever it is. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. It's not that these other identities don't exist, but rather they no longer define or divide us because we're one in Jesus. And this new identity is defined by Christ. He is at the center. Jesus determines this new identity. We are who we are by baptism through faith is who we are in Him. We belong to Him. And if we belong to Him, so we also belong to each other, His family, the church. And finally, notice who we are in Christ. Namely, sons of God. Now, at first glance, this sounds a bit sexist. Sons. Why sons rather than children or sons and daughters? Paul is actually very deliberate here in using this gendered language. because by the Holy Spirit, we are invited into the very relationship of the eternal Son with God the Father, so that he becomes our Father. This takes us to the heart of who we are before God, the heart of the Christian faith, the whole reason we celebrate Christmas coming up. It's there in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. When the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who cries, Abba, Father. So we, with Christ himself, can call God our Father. This is the great news of the Christian faith. By rights, each of us are a mixed up mess of the names that we've been given by ourselves and others, both good and bad. And there's only one who truly has the right to be called the Son of God. But what belongs to Jesus by rights belongs to us by adoption, to those who trust in Christ. This is God's great gift to us, that we may share in that eternal relationship between the Son and the Father. That God's word to Jesus may be his word to you and to me. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. That word to Daisy, to Amy, to Francesca, to William. You see, in baptism, that universal story of what Jesus has done is made personal. Your story. It is the gospel, the good news, with your name on it. Because you're the one getting baptized. You died with Christ. You are made alive with him. You are washed clean. You are forgiven. You receive the Holy Spirit. God's future is now yours. You are, in Paul's words, heirs, having the hope of eternal life. You are who God says you are. And no one else. Not the bullies at school or at work. Not the insults of the world. Not the destructive thoughts in your mind. Not your feelings or your desires. In baptism, God declares that you belong to him. And indelibly and without reservation, he says, I love you. And all this is his gift to you, to be received with faith. Your baptism is God's pledge to you of all these things. The promise of his gift, a sign to strengthen your faith in Jesus. And baptism also tells us how to live as an obedient child of God. That's who you are now. So get on with it. A disciple of Christ. Do you see it there in Titus? Paul writes, I want you to stress these things so that those who've trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. That's what God's called us to do. To lead lives doing all the good work he's given us to do. All of us long to be known and loved, to have a name and a family. In baptism, God names you as his child. In the church, God gives you a family. And so today we celebrate new life, the name and the family God gives. Amy and Daisy, and for Francesca and William, declaring for themselves that those promises made on their behalf are theirs. They own it. Jesus is for them too. And so for all of us who are baptized, today is a reminder that your baptism defines your life. You can rest in your Father's love for you. You can live the life of Christ that he calls you to, along with everyone else here in his body, the church. And if you've not been baptized, if you're not sure where you stand with Jesus, well, hear this word to you. He offers you salvation, the cleansing from your sins, a new life, being a child of God, not because of anything you've done, but all because he's his gift to you. And you can receive that by faith, trusting in Jesus. Why not make this day a day where you declare that you are all in? He'll give you a new life, a family, and a future. Have a chat with me or one of the four folk who'll be up the front soon. We'd love to help you make this step. Why don't we pray? Gracious God, we thank you for your word on our lives, that you love us, that you call us to be your children, that you forgive us, make us new. We thank you for that promise and sign of baptism that we can see and know for ourselves, pointing to that secret and invisible work of your Spirit in our hearts, pointing to the work of Jesus on the cross for us. Please help us to trust in what Jesus has done. And Father, for all of us to rest in your love and to live as children of God to the praise of your glory. We ask this for your name's sake. Amen.